Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is a portion of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, did you hear what Jesus called Peter? Whoa. I mean, there's name calling, and then there's name calling. I mean, someone should really call the authorities of the SWAT team, don't you think? I mean, the venom and the vitriol, the intolerance. Jesus unloads a devastating word that borders on hate speech and should send him immediately to sensitivity training at least, or most likely thrown in Leavenworth or San Quentin PDQ, no questions asked. After all, in our tolerant society, preachers are intolerantly forbidden to talk like that, aren't they? Ah, but Jesus does. He dares to do it without any hesitation, for Pete's sake. For Pete's being repented and then faithed. For the Lord to remarkably have good use of a repented and faithed Peter, and you too, for that matter. And so Jesus really lets Peter have it. He gets in Peter's grill, looks him straight in the eyes, and categorically and audaciously declares, "Get behind me, Satan!" He called Peter Satan? Yes, that's right. As far as Jesus is concerned, Peter has become Satan's instrument, Satan's mouth. How in the world could that be? Why in the world would Jesus be so harsh? Well, it's pretty simple, really. Peter won't be having a crucified Christ. Peter preaches what he thinks is a far better sermon than Jesus. Peter piously and infallibly pontificates that he has better words than the Lord Jesus Christ, just like you. You're no different than Peter, and Peter is no different than you. Now, Lord Jesus Christ has just been, as the text says, explaining to his disciples and you that he must, did you hear that? Must do a Good Friday Jerusalem, that he must suffer, he must be crucified, and then on the third day rise from the dead. Will you put up with a Jesus Christ like that? Seriously, will you? Peter won't. He'll have none of a Jesus like that. Now, would you too try to prevent Jesus from doing a Jerusalem? Would you dare to hinder Jesus from hanging graveyard dead on the cross and bearing the sin of the world? Huh? Well, Peter does. He would stop Jesus dead in his tracks. It's, you know, not that Peter is angry, and it's not that Peter is belligerent. I mean, he loves Jesus. He cares for Jesus. I mean, after all, he's a disciple of Jesus just like you. So with all the piety and with all the religiosity that Peter can muster, the apostle refuses to live by Jesus' words. Peter will not be having a Jesus that gets crucified like Jesus just preached. And so, Rockman Peter politely and gently takes Jesus aside to have a talk, a heart-to-heart. Peter has something very important to say, and so he lovingly and he tenderly declares, "Jesus, Master, you know, I only want what's best for you. You know that. And so, you know, I've got to step up to the plate here, Jesus. So listen, I give my never to what you just said. Suffering? Crucified? This can never, never happen to you. I can't, and I won't let you do this to yourself." It's like you're on some kind of a suicide mission, like you have some kind of morbid death wish. You know, Jesus, you really need to get over all this talk about your being hung on a cross. I mean, this has become dangerously manic with you. You obviously have some sort of disorder, Jesus. A psychotic suffering and dying dementia. I don't think it's genetic, Jesus. So, you know, my secretary has made an appointment for you to see Dr. Freud. And in addition, I have a very good friend who works in pharmaceuticals He sells a unique and rare fish oil from the Sea of Galilee that does wonders in restoring brain health and finally thinking straight. It's the latest infomercial rage, Jesus. Now, don't misunderstand me, Jesus. I'm usually not one to brag, but it really is a good thing that I'm here to take care of you and look out for you. Now, be a good Jesus. Be a good Jesus. Let's have no more of this suffering and dying talk. Will you promise me that? Oh, Dr. Freud, oh yes, he'll see you this afternoon. And take this fish oil pill with some water 3 times a day for the next 3 years. And you'll have your best life now, I promise you, Jesus. And you're all shaking your heads up and down, congratulating Peter. You're saying to Peter, "Hear, hear, Peter. Well done. Preach it, brother. Save Jesus from the cross. Deliver him from death. Don't you dare let him contaminate himself with the world's toxic and noxious sin. He's clearly out of his mind at the moment. Yeah, good for you, Peter. We're so proud of you, caring for Jesus like that. We're with you, Peter. Never, Lord, never. This simply can't happen to you. We're with Peter on this one." And so Jesus must say it again, but this time, to you, "Get behind me, Satan." He didn't. Oh, yes, he did. He had to expose you too. You too have pulled a Peter. You too, like Peter, genteelly and devoutly insist on having a Jesus the Christ without a Holy Week suffering, a Good Friday crucified dying, and an Easter morning resurrection. And therefore you, just like Peter, have become Satan's mouth. Peter's talk, your talk about the Christ is now Satan talk, Antichrist. What's that? What are you saying to me? Oh, you're saying you've had enough? You're calling the police now? Texting the church authorities? You're getting ready to walk out? Put your phones down. Shut them off. Sit back down and listen, I beg you. You know, it's time for us to hear. It's time for us to let the Lord Jesus Christ have his say-so, to have the first and the last word. It's time for us all to repent of idolatry, believing that our words are more divine and more important than the words of Jesus. It's time to quit once and for all putting our words ahead or above Jesus' words, to stop being a stumbling block to Jesus with all of our pious, well-meaning, but satanic words in order to permanently knock him off the road to Jerusalem and prevent him from doing his Good Friday. It's time to have in mind the things of God and put away the things of men. Now, I'm not just saying this to shoot the breeze this morning and get a paycheck. You probably won't pay me after this one, who knows? The reason why I'm saying this is because your salvation is at stake here. This is no game. Your eternal life depends, I repeat, your eternal life depends on Jesus getting wrapped up with all your sin and the world's sin in his divine body and answering for all of it in, with, and under his Good Friday death. If you and Peter had your way, Satan's way, then all your sin would remain on you. And you'd have to be damned in and with it. But I tell you that Jesus did what he said. He suffered and he died and he rose for your sake and for your salvation. For Pete's sake, too. Your sin belongs to Jesus, all of it. Every big or little bit of it. Your sin doesn't belong to you anymore. No sin is too big for Jesus. So don't purposely withhold any of your sin outside of his forgiveness. I mean, don't dare to say, "Oh, Jesus can't forgive me for that. What I did was so bad, it's absolutely unforgivable." No, that's not true. Yeah, of course your sin is bad. It's evil, it's hellacious, it's damnation. And that's precisely why Jesus did a Good Friday. That's what it takes to save sinners. And you and I all qualify. And so because of Jesus, you're forgiven. Salvation is yours because he is the crucified
and risen Christ. There is no other. And he's done it for you. He preaches that truth today at the supper today, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Those are his words and his promise, the best words that you could ever hear. Christ's words that contain and bestow the gospel with which every Christian lives. In the name of Jesus.